We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
They've played this game since 1904. Prime time under the lights of the palace. Bragging rights, pride, title hopes, it's all on the line. To the 10, sets up the defender, cuts inside, into the end zone, Spencer Rattler, touchdown. He dives and he caught it. Wow! Henderson's got space. Henderson's got a touchdown.
Sooner Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, live at Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue. This is Sooner Sports Talk, presented by AT&T 5G, the official 5G wireless network of OU Athletics. Also brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, the preferred sporting goods retailer of Sooner Sports. Bud Light. Whenever there's a game to watch, there's a Bud Light there. Homeland, proud sponsor of Sooner football. And by Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue, bringing you the best in barbecue. This is Sooner Sports Talk. Now, here are your hosts, Teddy Lehman, and the voice of the Sooners, Toby Rowland.
All right, welcome everybody back to Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue on a Tuesday night. It is time for Sooner Sports Talk, brought to you by AT&T. 41-13, the final in Bedlam on Saturday night. The Sooners beat the Cowboys. They made it six straight over the Pokes, and we're going to talk about it, plus the upcoming matchup with West Virginia back in primetime on Saturday night in Morgantown. This is my radio partner on the Sooner Radio Network and the Butkus and Bednarik Award winner, Teddy Lehman, and we welcome in now, you can applaud for Teddy, and we welcome in now the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, Lincoln Riley, everybody. Howdy, coach.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Hey, coach, I want to start, and we're going to dive and talk offense and defense and everything and West Virginia, But I want to start with something you pointed out immediately after the game on Saturday night. We noticed it early. That crowd that you had Saturday night was something else. It did not feel like there were only 25% there.
No, it didn't. I honestly had a few moments there where I kind of forgot that we were, you know, in this pandemic, and it felt, you know, like it should feel down there. Our fans were tremendous. I mean, I know there was a lot of buzz about the game and in-state rivalry and two good teams, all that. But our fans, I can't say enough about them. It was a great atmosphere. And I tell you what, our players noticed it. Our recruits, even though they couldn't be there, you know, at home watching it, you know, we've a lot of comments. It was very, very noticeable and very, very much appreciated. I can't thank our fans enough.
I think that's one of the things as a college football player, especially at a place like Oklahoma, maybe that you take for granted, that there's going to be 85,000 screaming people there. And then all of a sudden this year's thrust on you and you get excited about 25% in there getting loud. I can't imagine what these guys are going to feel like the next time, having seen a mostly empty stadium, not just here but everywhere, they run out and do see that 85,000. That's going to be special.
It will. I've thought about that, how different it'll feel again. I mean, for all of us. But you make a great point. I mean, our guys are so used to playing in front of big stages. I mean, you know, your Oklahoma career, you know, as of late and for just about all time has been, you know, you play in front of a sold out, you know, stadium here, you know, half your games. The other half, you go to somebody's home and you're typically their biggest game of the year. And it's normally a great atmosphere. You go play Texas in Dallas, which is one of the great atmospheres ever. You go down to AT&T Stadium and play at the home of the Dallas Cowboys for the Big 12 championship game, and then you go play in a major bowl game. I mean, like, that's kind of your career here. And so you're so used to, no matter where, playing on big stages, and it was a little bit of an adjustment early, I think, especially for our guys who are used to that. But it'll certainly be excited to see it packed up again.
Opening segment brought to you by Noble McIntyre, McIntyre Law, the law firm you should turn to for all your personal injury needs. All right, Coach, you've had a couple of nights to sleep on it. 41-13, the final on Saturday. Overall takeaway from how your team played?
We played hard. We played, you know, we did a lot of things well. You know, I think we, you know, continued to improve in a lot of areas. I thought some young guys made some big important plays in a big time ball game, which was great. You know, we had too many penalties on defense. Offensively, we were way too inconsistent with our execution. So there was still a lot that we're going to need to do better. You know, as this game goes on, as these opportunities continue to come up that we've, you know, been able to put ourselves into. So, you know, excited about the win against a quality opponent. Excited about how hard we played. You know, physical, all that. But still, you know, coming back and watching it, there's still, you know, a lot that we're leaving on the table that you know, we've got, you know, a few games here to try to be able to go get. So that's certainly been our focus coming out of the game.
I thought your quarterback, you know, it wasn't one of his flashier games, as you see him with a nice run into the end zone there, but it seemed like he did a really good job just distributing the ball. There wasn't any, like, incredible plays from him. It was just get the ball to the playmakers and let them go do their thing. And it turned out to be a really efficient night for him, it seemed.
Yeah, I thought he handled it well. You know, I thought he you know, took what was there the majority of the night, you know, was able to make a couple of really big plays, you know, took care of the football. You know, it's kind of like the rest of our team. There was a lot of good. There were still, you know, things that we've got to continue to learn from and clean up. But not for him to perform, you know, like that on that kind of stage, and, you know, his first taste of this rivalry game and to play really clean football was certainly a positive. I mean, he played well, and he's going to continue to play better and better.
You jumped out on him early. They did a pretty good job bottling up your run game for, you know, the first 2.5 quarters or so, but you stuck with it, and it opened up for you when you needed it in the third and the fourth quarter, big time, to put that game away. What was the, you know, kind of the message over there when it wasn't going well to stay after it?
We just knew we needed to play better, honestly. I mean, they're good defense. They don't make things easy on you, but at the same time, we shot ourselves in the foot, especially in the run game, you know, way too much. And a couple times in the throw game there, especially in the late second, early third quarter, we didn't play very well there offensively. And, you know, they give defense a lot of credit. Guys, you know, really held in there and, you know, were able to continue to maintain our lead, even though we're putting up some points, but we obviously, you know, had to kick some field goals, ended up missing one field goal. I mean, we had some opportunities to really blow it open big. And, you know, we didn't do a good enough job offensively to do it. But we really played well defensively the whole way through. And yeah, we felt like we were close the whole night on the run game. Just kind of one guy here and there, and we're able to put it all together. Certainly much better there at the end of the game.
How much different has that been for you? You know, you mentioned how good the defense has played, and you guys left some things out there offensively. Has that changed your approach much, that it seems like there's a bigger margin for error? In the past, there's been some games where it felt like if you didn't get points on a drive that maybe you're going to lose the football game. Now, all of a sudden, your defense has given you some leeway there where it doesn't feel like the end of the world if you have to march the punter out there.
Yeah, no, I think it's just this team's personality, and you know, we kind of say it each year, but it's always different as, you know, your recipe for winning. And obviously the recipe gets a lot easier. It's never easy, but it gets easier the better you are on any side of the ball. But no, certainly with the way we've been playing defensively, you know, you do have that confidence that you know, if for some reason we don't score on this drive, we're going to be okay. You know, good chance we're going to get it right back and have another crack at it. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, each game's been a little bit different that way, and there's always different runs here and there. But, I think we have a lot of confidence in the way we're playing defensively. And I've got a lot of confidence in both sides right now. I do. I think there's, you know, as you know, the season is just a continual fight to try to put it together as much as you can. And then you got to go do it again the very next week and continue to grow and learn. It's a constant battle. I mean, it is, but no, I can't say enough about how well we're playing defensively. It's when you play that good, you always have a chance to win.
Speaking of your defense, I was around a guy named Buddy Hield for 4 years who had such an effusive personality that whatever mood Buddy was in, everybody was in. If Buddy showed up in a good mood, everybody was in a good mood. If Buddy showed up with a chip on his shoulder, everybody had a chip on their shoulder. I think Baker was probably kind of like that for you. Ronnie Perkins seems like maybe he's that kind of a guy. A personality, a mindset that everybody else just feeds off of how Ronnie is playing out there. It looks like that from the 30,000 feet view, Coach. Is that the way it is inside the locker room?
He certainly has an impact. There's no question. He's definitely a team leader. A source of energy, source of attitude, mentality. No question about that. And that's, you know, we probably missed that as much or more, you know, during his absence than even maybe his play on the field. But we certainly missed both. But I mean, you're only going to have so many alphas, you know, and he's certainly one of those for us, and been a good. He's been a good mentor for our young guys as far as that, and pushing guys along and getting guys to understand what it really takes at this level to be a great team, to be a really strong individual player, to grow and mature. He's done a great job of that. So no, I can't say enough about him as a leader and what he's meant to our team to have him back. And he certainly made a big impact in that one the other night.
I feel like, you know, what's been most interesting for me defensively is, you know, one of the things you always talk about is, are you developing your talent? Are you developing your depth? And are you recruiting well? And whenever you look at this defense, I don't know that there's a defense in the country that has played as many guys in critical moments or has had, you know, the starting lineups that we've had. We've had several different starting lineups at inside backer, defensive line, secondary. I think the quality depth is one of the things that's probably underappreciated with this group. You know, you do have the stars like Ronnie and Benito, but there's good quality depth at all three levels of this squad.
I have a great point. No, there is. And it's, I think you have to have that to be great at this level, especially in this age of tempo ball and, you know, occasionally playing a bunch of snaps. And then obviously this year it's been maybe as important as ever just with all that we're dealing with the guys in and out with COVID. So, No, it has. I mean, I think it shows that a lot of guys have developed, that a lot of guys are getting opportunities. And I think, you know, it's kind of two things. It's, you know, I think your older guys have taken to this system and have bought into our strength program, just the culture, everything that we're wanting to do. And those guys are improving and getting better even in the later parts of their career. And then on the flip side, you've got a lot of young guys that are talented and going to have a chance to be really, really good players here, that are pushing for playing time now. That it's develop this guy for a few years. Yeah, we want to develop him, but that doesn't mean they can't come help us right now. We've pushed ourselves to find recruits that, you know, we don't sit there and say, hey, he's 2 or 3 years away from helping us. I mean, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for guys that can make an impact and then also have a chance to develop and continue to get better and have a chance to become, you know, really good players as their career unfolds.
All right, let's take an opening timeout. Coming up, we'll talk about the matchup with West Virginia, Teddy's Butkus brain teaser tonight. We'll start to hit your questions as well. You got a question for Coach Riley tonight, you can hit us up on the Twitter machine, at OU on the air. It's our Academy Sports and Outdoors inbox. We'll be back, Sooner Sports Talk, right after this.
Sooner Sports Talk is presented by Rudy's, bringing you the best in barbecue. Kincaid Coach, the official motor coach carrier of Sooner Athletics. Anheuser-Busch, whenever there's a game to watch, there's a Bud Light there. AT&T 5G, the official 5G wireless network of OU Athletics. Academy Sports and Outdoors, the preferred sporting goods retailer of Sooner Sports. Homeland, a fresh experience. Proud sponsor of Sooner Football. Riverwind, still the one. Walden Cleaners and Laundry, where the difference is quality.
Welcome back to Sooner Sports Talk, brought to you by AT&T. We're at Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue. Whether you're home gating or tailgating for the OU game, make a winning play with Tostitos chips. Tostitos packs the crunch for a touchdown in taste. We've got your Academy Sports question of the night, Academy Sports and Outdoors, for all officially licensed Sooners gear. Here it is.
Coach Riley, what's the most exciting aspect of your job?
All right, Coach, you wanted to know what is the most exciting aspect of your job. I think I could guess. It's probably your press conferences.
I thought
Tuesday.
You were going to say this show.
All right, we got to rank way up there. Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, there's a lot. Obviously, game days are pretty special. That's what you put so much work into, and to see the players, the team, have a chance to be successful, do it on that stage is awesome. I mean, seeing our guys graduate is up there for sure. One of the favorite things is the older players when they come back. Whether it's somebody that played for you, played for other coaches, you just having the former players around here, you know, their presence is big, but also just, it shows you that this place meant something to them, you know, for them to come back and support the program, be around us. So those are definitely some of the highlights for sure.
I got to imagine, like, one of the things is, you know, whenever you're recruiting a kid and maybe you find, I don't know, a diamond in the rough or however you want to picture that, but a kid in high school and you say, man, if we could get him here and develop him, he could turn into this type of player. And then seeing that happen, seeing him grow as a player like you had imagined and, you know, maybe go on to the NFL. Is there anyone that maybe sticks out that, you know, was a guy that came in that there was a lot of work that needed to be done, but you saw him take on that challenge and grow into that type of player?
Oh, no doubt. There's several. We've had even just so many here. I mean, I think about Marquise Brown a lot coming out of junior college and relatively unknown.
He's too little, Coach.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and how he developed. I mean, and more recently, certainly, you know, a guy like Neville Gallimore, you know, coming, you know, where he did out of Canada and as raw as he was coming in. I mean, current team, I know we've talked a lot about him, but I still point to Isaiah Thomas and the job he's done and just really just working himself into becoming a heck of a football player. So, yeah, those are those are definitely some of the best. You get to kind of watch that entire journey unfold and kind of the ups and downs of it. And to see those guys push through and have success is, I mean, there's not many better feelings than that.
I would say it's got to rank way up there when you come up with some crazy thing like The Godfather and it pays off in the middle of a game. All right, let's talk about it for just a second. You told us the name. We've been debating where that came from for a while. Can you tell us why it's called The Godfather?
It's honestly not really a great story behind it. It's just, you know, I don't have a good story. It's just you get in there and you're trying to come up with names and ways to communicate, and this is just what it was. So actually there is
you're
a good
right.
actually
a
you know what
story.
That's not true.
Okay.
That's actually not true. There actually is a good reason, but I can't tell you. So
what?
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh man.
You would understand, trust me.
Okay.
is that a play where, you know, it's called and you go to the line of scrimmage and you have to have a certain look for it to be on, or is that one that you guys are running? Like, that's the call and you're rolling with it?
Yeah, we were rolling with this one. You know, we occasionally have plays like that, but not too often. I really don't like getting too if you try to hit certain plays to certain things, I mean, you're just only going to be right a certain percentage of the time. So we try to not have too many plays in a plan that we only like against this or that. We try to have more plays that we're good, you know, as we kind of term it, just letting it ride. And that, you know, I think when we do that, we, you know, hopefully don't put our guys in too many bad situations where you know, called something and you only liked it against this coverage or this front or whatever, and then you don't get it and you know, and nothing good normally happens from there. So that was one we were going to ride with no matter what.
What's the scout team ratio with that one? There's got to be, like, whenever you try out some of these plays like that, if the scout team's not fooled,
no.
then, you,
yeah.
I mean, it's sometimes it's weird because you never know those guys, and they kind of know your offense a little bit.
It's named Fredo, if that's the case.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it a true test whenever you run stuff like that against a scout team?
It's sometimes a little bit harder to figure out. You know, something like that, occasionally we'll run against our defense. We actually ran it in the week against our defense, and it was a absolute disaster. So I'm surprised I got up the guts to call it after that.
You ever call in games in the course of a night? I'm not saying this happened Saturday, but it happened Saturday. You ever call in games and you're like, man, I'm hot tonight?
No.
Like a three-point
no.
shooter. You ever be like, man, I am in a groove tonight?
No, because I realize it's not. I mean, it's not me. I mean, it's the players. I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely easier to call plays when your guys are playing well and you're not, you know, you're staying in good position. You're not committing mistakes, penalties. I mean, that's obviously a lot easier when you feel like a lot of things are working, as opposed to when you feel like you're searching to try to get them jump started. So the players certainly make that job a lot easier.
All right, we got some great questions rolling in. I want to get after some of these. This is from Terry and Rob in house. Say, what did Drake Stoops do to make him have to run gassers all night during the game? A lot of people pointed out, Coach, that Drake went in motion a whole lot for you on Saturday night. They wanted to know if it was punishment or anything.
No, just kind of how the thing came together. So, you know, he's, you know, this was kind of part of the plan, and he's been a big part of our offense. And, they tend to work pretty good, too. So I think everybody was happy with him.
I'll tell you what I like from him. You know, it looked early on, it's like he's pulling rough duty out there, blocking on some of those perimeter tunnel screens and bubbles and stuff. But you could see that, you know, he's got the knack for that now, and he's starting to get way better at that at the point of attack, convoy blocking downfield. He's turned into a pretty good little guy out there on the edge blocking for you.
No, he has. That's honestly what's allowed him to be able to play and contribute more. I mean, he's always ran pretty good routes and caught the ball well. He's improved at that too. But his, you know, when you're a smaller guy out there, you better be able to block people, or it's kind of like, man, why would we even put you out there if all you can do is, you know, run a good route here and there and catch the ball? No matter how many balls you catch as a receiver, you're always going to be blocking way more than you're running with the football. And he's really improved that. I mean, he took it to heart the way we've coached him. You know, Coach Gundy's done a great job bringing him along, and that's been probably the biggest key that's allowed him to play as many snaps as he has.
Gary Matthews in-house asks, what player, what former OU player would you say resembles Mikey Henderson? That's a good topic to bring up. I mean, Mikey Henderson just continues to be a great weapon for you. Teddy, you've talked about the resemblance to Josh Norman in the past, pre-Lincoln Riley, but any resemblance there to a former player coach?
Oh, man, he is unique. You know, he really is. I mean, probably, in at least in my time here, I would say Joe Mixon. Now, there's definitely some differences. You know, Mikey's bigger than Joe. You know, Joe's a little bit faster than Mikey, but, you know, both are kind of have that skill set. You're like, man, like, this guy can do a lot. You know, like, I mean, you know, Joe, you know, would have been, and he was fabulous for us as a receiver as well. But, I mean, you could have lined him up a receiver the entire game. He would have been great. And Mikey has some of that same type of ability where there's just – you don't feel like just a ton of limits on what this guy can do. So he's an exciting young player, to say the least.
I think it's pretty impressive. And I know a lot of people talk about that, and we've asked similar questions. But that whole room, you know, from Stogner, a 6'6", 260-pound, you know, tight end guy that can split out or be an inline blocker, to Braden Willis, to Jeremiah Hall, and then, you know, Mikey Henderson. It's really – it runs the entire spectrum, and it just – you know, it gives you more weapons there and versatility than probably any other tight end H-back room in the country. And, you know, how have you kind of embraced that and recruited that and used that to expand your offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've looked for skill sets that we feel like give us that versatility. And like you said, they're all a little bit different. And you know, there's not many guys like that. I mean, that's, you know, you go out and look for offensive linemen, there's a bunch of linemen, you know, there's a bunch of running backs, a bunch of receivers. But there's – it's such – to have a body type to be able to do all that is harder to find. And so we've simply just kind of tried to find guys that we think are versatile and that could do a lot of parts of it, whether it's with a 6'6", 250-pound frame or a, you know, 6'2", 240-pound frame. And, and it's just – it's been a great room. They've complimented each other, you know, supportive of one another. You know, they've all, you know, made big plays when their number's been called, and they've all done a good job learning our system, which has allowed us to use them in a lot of different ways.
All right, time for our Rudy's Anywhere, Sooners Everywhere question of the night. This is from Tim Garrett, who's going to win a $50 gift card to Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue. Coach, typically how many times do you watch a game film on the upcoming opponent, and how many years do you go back? I would imagine that fluctuates.
It does. You know, it depends a little bit on, you know, how long a defensive coordinator's been there, or, you know, how he's been at other stops or his staff. So that's – you know, that's definitely one of the biggest things. And then also, too, how much, you know, personnel, you know, is different or how much is new. So it does fluctuate. But, no, I mean, we watch quite a bit. You know, you watch it different ways. Sometimes you watch a full game. Sometimes you watch, you know, what coaches call our cut-ups, which is, you know, different situations. So you may take a team and every, you know, every play that they've had on third down, you know, is broken down, so you can, you know, be able to look at the film through different lenses. But by the end of the week, we've seen a lot more than we haven't seen.
Thank you, Tim. Good question. We got a gift card headed your way. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll look ahead to West Virginia with Coach Riley and Teddy's Butkus Brain Teaser of the night. It's Sooner Sports Talk here at Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue.
Sooner Sports Talk is presented by Rudy's, bringing you the best in barbecue. Log on to Soonersports.com/kids for information about joining the Sooner Junior Kids Club, presented by OG&E. Brought to you in part by Orthodontics exclusively, Anheuser-Busch. Whenever there's a game to watch, there's a Bud Light there. We want to thank all of our Sooner Radio Network affiliates across the state and region. Fans can check out Soonersports.com for an affiliate in your area. And if you're traveling outside the state of Oklahoma, you can listen to all the action on either Sirius XM Radio or download the TuneIn app and listen free. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Welcome back to Rudy's. Toby and Teddy with you. Hey, Sooner fans, when you download the Chick-fil-A app and order, you can start earning points toward delicious rewards. Whenever there's a Sooners game to watch, there's a Bud Light there. please drink responsibly. Lincoln Riley with us, and you got West Virginia coming up on Saturday night, another primetime game, Coach. And the Mountaineers have been very good at home, stingy defense, running game vastly improved from a year ago. What do you think about West Virginia?
Yeah, no, they're playing well. You know, top-ranked defense in the conference right now, second-ranked offense. So they're playing really well. You know, I think improved in a lot of areas. You know, they're very, you know, they're very versatile offensively. They've ran the ball well, you know, really the entire year. And then, you know, quarterbacks come in and done a nice job for them. Got some good skill on the perimeter. So, you know, pretty well-balanced offense. Defensively playing very well. You know, they've got definitely one of the top fronts, defensive fronts in the league. And they've just been, you know, they're really solid overall defensively. Not, I say solid in a good way. I mean, they've made a lot of big plays. They just haven't given up a lot of big plays. Very steady and been able to get pressure on that front. Guys in the back end have really held up well for them. So they're a good football team. They played extremely well at home. You know, won all five of their home games, beat up on a couple people pretty good there. So that'd absolutely be a tough challenge.
Neil Brown, you know, took over that job, and, you know, a lot of people looked at it, it's like, boy, that's going to be such a work in progress there. But the difference between them year one versus year two, especially given the offseason and the, you know, the limited availability, you know, that says quite a bit about him as a head coach and the staff he put together.
It does. No, he's got a really good staff. Those guys have done a great job, you know, really brought in some quality players and you know, developed guys, and no question, no, there's a lot of guys on that staff we're very familiar with, and no surprise to see, you know, that they're doing a great job.
It's always been a really physical, hard-hitting defense. They'll talk some noise. We've had some pregame little roustabouts whenever we go to Morgantown up there. You see the same thing this year, really aggressive, hard-hitting defense?
Yeah, they are. No, they're a good group. They're physical. You know, they've played really good team defense all year. They've certainly – you know, I mean, I think the front, you know, definitely leads the charge for them, as it does on most really good defenses like ours. But they've got some really quality players behind. They do, and they do some really good things schematically, and they're just a very, very complete group.
You know, whenever you get rolling the way you guys are right now, late in the year, feel like you really hit your stride, kind of both sides of the ball. The one thing, like, you look at a game like this and feel confident about it, and then there's like that, unless we, you know, for whatever reason, our guys don't show up or feel like they've arrived, whenever you look at, you know, the kind of the leadership on this team, the attitude of this team, you feel confident that there won't be any let up?
I do. I mean, I feel like, you know, we know we only got a few of these things left, and I think we're enjoying the opportunity just to play right now. I think we're excited about our growth, and, you know, the guys have still been extremely coachable, and we continue to push them hard. And I think anybody that's been a part of, you know, this series and certainly been a part of going up to Morgantown understands the challenge. And, you know, we know very well the, you know, especially here as of late, the Kansas State and the TCU teams that they, you know, beat up there at their place handily. So they're a good football team. And when you watch the film, it's pretty easy to see, and pretty easy to see that it'll be a definite challenge going there. I mean, no sugarcoating it. I mean, you're going to have to go up there and play well.
Coach, it was a big picture question. It was such a grind to get to the start of this season. You know, all the hoops you had to jump through, all the protocols, even, you know, once it got going. I've heard you say two or three, four times lately, well, I wish we had more games to play. Mm-hmm. I wish we had more to play. It seems like the gelling of this team, you're loving being around these guys right now. Just tell us where that feeling comes
from. Yeah, we are. I mean, some of it's been the attitude of these guys through it. I'd say a lot of it's been that. Some of it is, I think, just some of the missed time, you know, not getting to spend the time with them in the summer and spring ball and all those things that you maybe take for granted, I guess, in normal years. So, yeah, I don't know. And just the vibe of the team. I mean, they've been for each other. They've hung in there, you know, through the tough breaks, the tough moments, the great moments. I mean, they've just continued to be there for each other. They've continued to be very coachable and allow us to push them. And, you know, teams like that are fun because they get better and you know, everybody's kind of out for each other. And that's how it should be in this game.
All right, time to tease the brain. The Oklahoma Education Association Butkus Brain Teaser. OEA, putting education first. What you got for coach tonight, Ted?
Okay, since we're going on the road to West Virginia, I've got a road game at West Virginia. 2016 snow game, T-Row.
Yeah, I remember it, yeah.
11:02 left in the first quarter. Score is 0-0. It is third and goal on the plus 2 yard line going in right hash. Third and goal, plus 2, right hash, 0-0 first quarter, 2016 West Virginia.
Before, remember before the game, we couldn't even see the field. It was snowing
so
hard.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was a wildcat to Samaje that he scored over the left side. I think that's it. If that's not it, then I don't know.
Let's see. I don't know. You didn't even tell me what it is tonight. Let's see. 2016, Morgantown, snow's falling.
Yep.
There goes Baker splitting out wide right. That's abnormal. Wildcat, Samaje, Perine. Can't even tell what yard line anybody's on. And it's a touchdown. Second effort touchdown. And that's another successful Butkus brain teaser, everyone.
That's pretty good. I thought that one would be more difficult. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I limited it whenever I said third and goal. I don't know.
Don't kick
back
yourself
to the drawing
over. He's
board.
Really good. Don't beat yourself up over
back
it,
to so. The drawing board. Nicely done.
Coach, nicely done on the brain teaser. Thank you for joining us tonight. And good luck against the Mountaineers on Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, Lincoln Riley, everybody, stay with us. We're not done yet. In fact, on the other side of this commercial break, Chris Plank is going to sit down with Sooner defensive back Woody Washington. You're watching Sooner Sports Talk, brought to you by AT&T.
OU's football games are available on Exodus 96.5 FM in Oklahoma City and 101.5 FM El Patron in Tulsa, as well as on those stations' websites. Each OU Spanish broadcast will feature a 30-minute pregame show and a 15-minute postgame show. Homeland, a fresh experience. Proud sponsor of Sooner Football. Dr. Tim Shannon and Dr. Mark Revels at Orthodontics Exclusively are proud to present the junior captain of the game and are pleased to honor these guests as they take the field with our captains. For info on how your child can become the next junior captain, go to orthoexc.com. The Sooner Sports Podcast is your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. Listen as Toby Rowland and Chris Plank talk all things Sooners. Log on to Soonersports.tv/podcast. Presented by Allstate and Riverwind.
Washington joins us. Woody, man, congrats on the win Saturday night. That's a tough matchup with some really good wide receivers and a good running game. What really keyed this defensive success against Oklahoma State and Bedlam?
I would just say our preparation and practice. We emphasized the whole week just getting on top of receivers and just trying to make them run the routes through our bodies. And I think we did a real great job of doing that.
Run the routes through your body. In other words, that to me says physicality, right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
so
sir.
From that perspective, what's the balance between, you know, being agile, being physical, and then obviously doing it within the rule book so far? It's a tough balance for you guys, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I say for me, it's more of on the physical side because I try to play as physical as I can at the corner position. And just like guys like Trey Brown, DJ Graham, those are more of like the finesse, agile guys. So they do a real great job of trying to balance that out.
Now, are you helped? Well, you're a physical. You're a good tackler to begin with. But some of the cross-training you did, working at safety, playing nickel when called upon last year, has that kind of helped your physicality, or have you always been a more physical corner?
I think that kind of helped my physicality. I try to pride myself in being physical. I grew up watching Jalen Ramsey, so that's one of those guys that's a real physical corner. So,
hey, make interceptions like he did in the end zone last week against Seattle, and you'll be good to go, man.
Yes, sir.
The defensive line is really playing well. Can you begin to put into words how it helps the back end when the front seven is getting pressure like that?
It definitely helps us a lot because we don't have to cover as long. Most times we cover routes for about four or five seconds, but they're getting back there in three, making the quarterback make bad decisions. So it helps us a lot.
Hey, tell me about Roy Manning, because obviously we get a chance to talk to Coach on our Coach's Corner show, and we see the show, we see the energy, we see the speed D. What's it like to learn from him?
Just like you said, it's always going to be energy. So I think that helps us, like, just be more prepared and be more fired up when we actually get onto the field.
Woody, last year you watched where the depth wasn't, I think, where anyone wanted it to be. Now this year you're going to Saturday night. Jaden's not out there, but DJ slides in, and you and Trey did a great job. Can you take us through that corner room and how that depth has continued to grow and improve?
I think it's all in practice. Like I said, we come out every week and just prepare our butts off. So I say in practice, DJ had a really great week of practice. And Coach Manning seen that, and he thought he was ready to play, and he definitely was.
For you personally, I know you're never satisfied, Woody. I know everyone wants to win championships, and individual awards are part of that. But how satisfied are you with where this defense is right now? Let's just go specifically with you. Started the last few games, get the big pick in OU Texas, physical, making tackles all over the place. How do you feel about where Woody Washington is right now as a football player?
I know there's a lot more that I can do better, but like you said, I'm never satisfied, so that's really all I could say.
Boy, it's fun watching him grow as a football player. Here's what I would say about him right now. I don't know how good of a corner he is right now, but he's a heck of a football player, and you've got to start with that before you got to be great at any one position, and he's got a really good base to his structure and what he's going to be as a player.
Saw a glimpse of it in the Peach Bowl last year, and he's built on it this year. Hey, how would you like to be able to sync your radio so that you can listen to the Sooner Radio broadcast while watching the TV in the comfort of your own home? You can. Go to syncmygame.com to find out how. We'll take a break. Final segment from here at Rudy's of Sooner Sports Talk right after this.